Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Raptor podcast. I'm Robert Scarpinito, your features editor.
And Rutten, editor-in-chief.
Andrew Stretch, live service editor.
Live service editor, indeed, because we're talking about a bunch of live service games. That's all Sony's about. No, that's not true. They've got a lot of other cool stuff, too. I was looking at like our agenda for today's episode. And Stretch, I just want to offer you a moment. If you want to like say anything about Xbox or just kind of get Xbox, like this is your moment to do that, because everything else is going to be about Sony and Nintendo.
It's okay. I'm just going to take the promotional image that we use, and I'm going to put the Xbox logo on it, and then I'm just going to put that out.
All right. Sounds great. Good. Because, yeah, today we're going to talk about more Zelda, just because it's a great game. And
bro, I'm so addicted.
You are. It might be a problem. This might be the intervention podcast, really.
And I'm an enabler when it comes to Zelda. Keep going. Shoot into your veins.
Yeah, right in there. Just right into your Zoni arm. And we're also going to talk about that big PlayStation showcase, the unofficial start to maybe the kind of E3 season-ish.
I'm so sort caught of. E3. Although I do like hot G-Hop summer. But,
but unfortunately, G-Hop wasn't at this show.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, there's that big PlayStation showcase. You can check our YouTube channel. We did Stretch and Christian did a big reaction stream to it with a little bit of predictions at the beginning. So I mean, if you haven't watched it yet and do want to watch it with your friends here at Tech Raptor, right? but now we're gonna break things down. We're not gonna go through every single story here. If you do want to see every single announcement, we have that on our site, techraptor.net, where our news team has put together, you know, a bunch of stories that lists out everything if you want to know it. But we're just going to talk about things kind of in chunks that kind of speak to us, so we can kind of parse through and have a you know, fruitful discussion about the PlayStation showcase. The first thing being that kind of is you know, this could be the first time we're seeing Sony really deliver on that live service thing, right? Which is like how many live service games we saw here.
It's a lot.
Yeah, from PlayStation owned studios, you know, you got Haven Studios. They revealed Fair Games. That was the first thing they showed, like, of the whole showcase. Bungie had revealed a new Marathon game, and of course Destiny 2's final expansion showed up. Firewalk Studios Concord, we got a nice motion graphics text of the word Concord.
It looked pretty rad, that logo. It was pretty cool.
It's cooler than the Metroid Prime 4 logo reveal, for sure.
Yeah.
And in terms of non-Sony studios, you know, we saw Helldivers 2 from Arrowhead Games, Tower of Fantasy, just kind of a reminder that that exists. And Square Enix revealed a Splatoon-like called Foam Stars, which that's going to be on everything. So it's not just a Sony thing. But that's kind of a quick rundown of all the live service games we caught in this showcase. And I want to throw the ball over to you two, maybe Stretch. I mean, how are you feeling? Is this kind of infecting you in a way where you're like, I'm all about live service now, baby. That's all I'm turning on my PlayStation for.
This very much worries me. Just, you know, the nature of live service. We've been having live service games for a while. In terms of live service shooters, really, Destiny is the only one that's like really made it. So it's very concerning to see, and it's hard to even have much of a buy-in to any of these. Like, Marathon's really cool. Like, that's a unique thing for Bungie to bring back. But, you know, if the expectation is, well, as a live service game, it's probably going to die in like a year, maybe less, depending on the player base. It's like, do I want to get invested in that? Is it going to have the longevity, the legs that Destiny has had? It's just, it's weird with just like, it's such a, I mean, all games you like play for a bit and then you stop playing them. That's just how it goes. Putting live service on the box just really like puts a finality on it. Like there is a level of failure in a live service game if it doesn't remain live, if it doesn't have the investment and the player base, which half of these are just not going to have.
More than half.
Wow.
It's like in 2 years of the ones that have been released, how many will still even be discussed?
I mean, maybe Destiny. Destiny has proven itself. It's the one that has proven itself, right? And it's the only one of these.
I wasn't counting that one. That one it is successful. That one is the exception to the rule so far. One thing that I do like that I was realizing looking at this is that none of this is using their former studios that are well known for making their big blockbuster single player adventure kind of games. I'm glad that they're not doing that. They could be, and we just don't know about those games yet.
God of War Live. Keep
making God. No. Isn't that just Smite? Wouldn't that just be Smite they make?
Yeah.
That game would exist. But that is, I think, encouraging to see that, because you know, we see something like EA, like, hey, BioWare makes good shit. Let's have them make a game that they don't make this kind of game at all. Let's use them the way we shouldn't use them. And then it didn't work. What do you know? Weird.
What are you talking? I thought, do you guys not still play Anthem every weekend?
Can you even play it anymore?
I had forgotten what you were even referencing. I was just nodding and pretending that I too was in on the I remember it.
Wait, before that, you're like, yeah, no, that Mass Effect live service game. Poof, boy, howdy, that was.
I was just hoping that no one would notice.
But the thing is, like, we don't know about the live service. I mean, one of these could work out. You don't know. Like, that's. I think we were talking before we recorded. I can't remember where it was. I should try to find it. I think it was some earnings call or something where Sony did say they were working on like 6 to 8 of them or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that it's a shotgun approach if they just hope one sticks. Because if one does, it pays for the rest. All the other missed failed attempts are paid for if it does work out. So I get the purpose of it. But it's also like, dude, you guys have one with Destiny already. Like, just keep going.
So Sony has said that they have 12 live service
games. Oh, it's more than I even thought. Yeah, I knew they had a bunch.
The known ones were Haven Studios' unannounced title. So we now know what that is.
Fair games.
The Last of Us multiplayer project, which other news has come out about that this week. So we'll see what even's going to happen with that. MLB The Show, they're counting.
We've got I wouldn't think of that.
Unconfirmed live service games is Twisted Metal reboot, Guerrilla Games unannounced multiplayer shooter.
That's right. We didn't know about that.
That's Horizon, right?
Horizon people. Guerrilla and Games. Formerly Hellzone.
Killzone.
Killzone. Yep. Yeah. I'm thinking Hellgast. The Hellgast, which are the enemy, the Hellghosts.
And then there's also a Sony London unannounced live service title and Media Molecule.
Right. And that London one, I think it's supposed to be like a fantasy live service thing, like fantasy genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just going to do Fable Legends, but better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sure.
Yeah. But see, I thought it was interesting on that earlier you said, you know, oh, at least they're not using their prestigious single player studios for it. And then the news about Naughty Dog came out on Friday, right? So we've known that Naughty Dog has been working on a multiplayer version of The Last of Us. Well, I mean, we know The Last of Us Factions, right? That was a thing. But like a new one. And we saw a nice glossy JPEG at Jeff's show last year.
It's pretty good.
It was very pretty, very good. High def. Definitely a couple megabytes at least. But we saw that. Yeah. And we saw that and they were like, yep, we're working hard on it. And we promised you'll hear about it in 2023. And now in 2023, we are hearing about it. And it's in a way that is perhaps not great for Naughty Dog, they've said that they pulled some people away from the project because they've had to figure out what to do with it. They're not really sure what to do with it. And now they're working on a single player experience. And that multiplayer thing is kind of on ice, on the back burner, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think there was anything that was said it was necessarily going to be a games as a servicey kind of game. I know it's weird to say if it's a multiplayer game, it's going to be games as a servicey kind of anyway, right? But there's a difference. We don't really see them anymore. But it felt like what they were saying, Last of Us 2 was going to be more of the former, the old school multiplayer way, not necessarily maybe be all this battle passy and kind of shit.
Right.
But maybe that's what Sony wants it to be, or someone else there wants it to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I do have to say, I think overall, looking at the future of like what was revealed, right? Fair Games, Marathon, and Concord, right? Of those, I just don't. I mean, I'm not normally a live service person, like live service game person anyway. So I'm probably not the target audience. But if you think about Sony's target audience, they're probably primarily people who love God of War and The Last of Us, right? Those single player narrative driven adventure. Like, that's like the reason.
Wait, I thought they had a bunch of Call of Duty people that are very important to them too.
So God of War and things like that are like the primary reason people would probably buy a PlayStation, I think. So I think if they're trying to push live service, they need to come up with something that's like intriguing to that could capture that audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to reboot Outriders.
That would be fun.
Isn't that like still, aren't they still making stuff for that?
I think
they are.
Okay. Yeah.
But that, like,
how cruel of a thing to say then? How cruel? I mean, if you think of those games, like obviously the one that's got the most potential is probably Marathon. Bungie's got a proven track record.
Yeah. And
it probably had the like coolest look to it. Fair Games looked generic as fuck. I didn't know anything.
It looked like Watch Dogs 4.
Yes. Yeah. It looked very Watch Dogs-y. But Marathon had a very cool art style to it. Very cool art design. Mm-hmm. That let it set itself apart. And I mean, Bungie obviously knows how to make games, like good gameplay people like.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's got the best shot. And Concord, we don't know fucking anything about, so.
Mm-hmm. Just another cool logo. PvP type of thing, but no other details.
Firewalk's brand new studio, so
yeah,
don't know anything about them. Mm-hmm.
It is so interesting to see Bungie dive back into their history and be like, yeah, let's pull this out. Like,
why aren't they doing Halo? What the
last time anyone did anything Marathon was on a Mac, I believe.
I think it was in the 90s.
Yeah, it was like a Mac. Yeah.
There was a Mac only series. Really, yeah, it's Bungie's history interesting. It from a Mac only series to the Microsoft series, help creating it,
And now the Sony live service series.
Not the side, yeah, they've bounced around. What are they gonna do for Nintendo?
Next. Mario live service PvP.
Dude, they're gonna take the Mario with guns and run with it. No tactical RPG.
Yeah, tactical mushroom action.
I need Fortnite, but Mario in the Mushroom Kingdom.
You know, is it surprising that there's no Nintendo characters in Fortnite? Or
no, I don't think they want Mario holding a gun. I don't think they like the look of Mario shooting people.
Could you imagine Samus holding a gun with her gun hand?
That'd be pretty fantastic. That'd be good.
That would be good. But yeah, I think live service games are just something that we're probably going to see more of from Sony.
Sure.
And if this is the first step, I'm curious to see where it goes from here, because it doesn't seem like the most compelling.
You said 12, right? Altogether, they said, and that's, if we include Destiny, that's 4 that were talked about. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot more.
Yeah.
It's just going to be the way. We're just going to see a whole lot of this. I think that it's going to do good for PlayStation to be able to have more on the plate, because realistically, like you hear about the Uncharted's, the God of War, The Last of Us, but aside from that, like big tentpole, like games that Sony can push as like, this is a Sony game, are a bit more few and far between, which is an interesting juxtaposition than for Xbox, who is putting out a whole bunch more, but it's a whole bunch of smaller stuff that a lot doesn't even get talked about, really.
Right.
So it's interesting to continue to see the two different approaches and how they're trying to find that middle ground.
A little bit of middle ground, but I think you're underselling how many more tentpole things they have, with like Spider-Man coming.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man
as well. And Wolverine
at some point.
I mean, I imagine that's the Spider-Man and the Wolverine are all just gonna like, that's as if saying like God of War 1, God of War 2 in my mind. It's like Spider-Man 1, Miles Morales, Spider-Man 2, Wolverine, like it's all same series. Right.
Well, yeah, because I remember that comic where Peter Parker goes to the Weapon X project and becomes Wolverine. That's actually his origin story, from what I remember.
I'm sure that that's a comic.
Probably somewhere. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have put too much sarcasm in that. It probably exists.
Yeah. Spider-Man with claws.
To a lesser extent, Horizon and Ghost of Tsushima, whatever Sucker Punch will do next, whether it's Tsushima 2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they have quite a few big things. But they do the thing is they do take for fucking ever, 6 to 8 years or whatever, a lot of times. Right.
I wasn't wanting to undersell just how much they have going on.
Yeah.
But just like they're putting out all of the stuff that's like up here. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like they're
they're top heavy.
Yes.
At Sony.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I mean, hey, maybe Naughty Dog will come out swinging with that single player game. Because I mean, even if the news of the multiplayer.
Well, historically, their characters do swing punch people.
That's true. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess Crash like swings his arms really fast to spin, right?
Crash swings. Nathan Drake punches people.
Jack.
I'm sure Ellie has punched some people in Joel.
Maybe once.
I'm sure they punch people sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But I mean, if they're working on a single player game, that's exciting, right? I mean, that's what they do best.
Weird. It'll probably be one of the best games of the year when it comes out.
Maybe.
Yeah. How long until we start getting like the Last of Us, a Telltale series kind of stuff?
Hopefully never.
I hope never. Yeah.
They're doing that. Sorry. They're doing it on HBO.
Yeah. That's a Telltale series. You only make one choice, play or pause. You know, that's really it. But yeah, I'm excited to see what Naughty Dog does next. I can't say I was excited for the multiplayer thing as much. No. And I guess whatever's happening internally there,
maybe there's a might not have to worry about being excited for it or not.
Exactly.
It could just never happen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We'll just have that concept art for the rest of our lives to look at.
Mm-hmm. Before we dive into other kind of main games, PSVR 2. That came out 3 months ago, and this has been Sony's next big showcase to kind of have the PSVR corner of its showcase. And in that, we saw Resident Evil 4 VR, which we knew that was coming. Then we just saw like a little bit of gameplay. Arizona Sunshine 2, Crossfire Sierra Squad, Synapse, which got a release date confirmation of July 4th.
A couple months.
Yeah, and then Beat Saber just being like, we're out. We're like now. Don't Finally, stop me yeah. now. By Queen, we are out.
Yeah, the Queen pack.
Yes. And is FNAF Help Wanted? Is that a PSVR thing or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is okay. it?
Yeah, Help Wanted was on the original PSVR and stuff.
I'm sure. I just know nothing of Five Nights at Freddy's, except it is weirdly Excited huge and movie. Very popular mm-hmm. among children.
Yes.
You calling me a child? Is that what just happened?
You bastard. Oh, you like a lot of stuff that's popular among children.
Uh-huh. Pokemon. Yeah,
right.
But that's kind of their PSVR corner of this show. And yeah. I guess Auden, you and I are we have PSVRs on the site.
We do. VR2. We both have PSVR2.
Right. I don't know about you. I have not pulled it out in weeks. I still have not finished the Horizon game. Mm.
I've not pulled it out in a while, but there's other mitigating circumstances as to why I have not. Right. I've wanted to, like, I really want to do. Oh, some of it, a lot of it is there's just older PSVR games that I wanted to play. Like, I did play Moss. I want to play Moss 2. Moss was really fucking cool. Like, I see why people liked it. Beat Saber, I definitely want. But that was one I think when we originally, before we even got it, we were just like, yes, Beat Saber, and now it's here finally.
Beat Saber is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looks. Yeah, I can't wait to try it. Not much on the horizon. Seems all interesting though.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Synapse looks like it could be cool, but
be all right. They tried to say what? It's Inception meets something fucking else or something. I was like, oh, shut up.
It just made me think of a higher fidelity.
Super hot.
Super hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like super hot.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Arizona Sunshine 2, I was like, well, I mean, maybe
live and die on whether you feel the humor lands with you.
Yeah, and the humor is definitely not landing with you. It's very like LOL, quirky, edgy.
Kind it of felt stuff. Very like 2010s, like early 2010s.
Which is there wasn't there wasn't much of that humor in the first Arizona Sunshine. And but I only played through probably like a third of that.
Yeah.
And it was very like, you know, by the book, like go through a desert and shoot zombies. It was, while it wasn't an aesthetic that gelled with me, or it sounds like it didn't gel with anyone here, I'm glad that they're trying to inject more personality into it other than this is a game where you shoot zombies.
Yeah, that's fair. Resident Evil 4 VR, I want to be interested, but I tried 8 VR and didn't really like the way the VR felt in it. Mm. I'm hoping Resident Evil 4 VR feels better, especially because, you know, they did the Meta Quest version of it, right? That's pretty beloved.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
but this one puts it in first person instead of like that over the shoulder thing. So I don't know.
It'd be weird, especially with like, I didn't play 8, but like there's a lot of shit going on 4. A lot of movement.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool to see, like, you know, you can parry with the knife still, but like in real time, right, within VR, which was cool. But also the mere thought of staring into the Chainsaw Man's eyes in with my eyes
while it's going,
yeah, that's just like, oh, fuck me, that
sounds pretty fucking rad now that you describe that.
Yeah, I mean, they showed her to the gameplay and I was like, that looks cool, but also, yeah, like, ooh, man,
it's different when you're actually the one.
There'd definitely be more movement, but you wouldn't have to like pause and like line up shots as much, like once you got like the hand-eye coordination in. So
yeah,
I imagine that a lot of encounters, like as long as you just have like a constant strafe going, I could imagine that some would be, if anything, more chill. If you're not having worry about, you know, getting to a right spot and pulling up and do I have the time to do it? It's like, you can just be walking this way and just like firing over your back.
Oh, that's the Lawbreakers technique. The patented Lawbreakers. But yeah, I think with VR2, it's like there are some projects here that I was like, oh, that could be exciting. Like Beat Saber, I think, is the big one. I mean, that's the one that everyone's been waiting for, right, with VR2. But I can't help but be like a little disappointed at not seeing more Sony first party support. Like, I mean, we got the Horizon thing, which is cool.
Yeah.
And that was way cooler than I thought it would have been. You know, I thought it would have been like a pretty basic tech demo type of thing. But no, it's like a full-fledged story and game. I think I would have liked to see more from another first party Sony studio to like really show like, oh, Sony's dedicated to this device, you know. But maybe it is still early. Yeah. It's only been 3 months.
Yeah, it has been, like we were mentioning before we record, it's just now hitting retail. So like before, you could only buy it from Sony directly on a website, and now you'll start seeing it in stores. So I don't know if that might change some stuff for them. But yeah, you're right about the first party stuff, because I imagine what's going to be the most exciting thing is going to be some smaller indie title or something that comes out that's like, oh, that looks kind of interesting, like I had with The Last Clockwinder, and I was like, oh, that's fucking rad, that's a really great game that I had no idea about before. It's gonna be something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just gonna have to guess on, like, pull the trigger on, try it out.
Yeah, because one thing I've noticed being a fairly recent VR adopter is like the reviews segment of the space for like coverage of VR games
not very
is
good.
Yeah, it's tough to find something where you're like, oh, I can kind
of
get
a
vibe
of like VR sites that cover them, but there's not a lot of, particularly when mainstream stuff where there's reviews and people talking about the VR games that come out.
Which
is a shame, because there's some really cool stuff that's happening there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, everybody has said this, I know, but like VR's got like the most potential to do some really cool shit at some point. And I know the technology's still being developed, still going, but like there's a lot of cool stuff that can happen here. Mm-hmm. So I'm always excited to see what people do with it. But I would love to see more big budget stuff, just because they can have a lot more people thinking creatively about something at once with money behind it. And that'd be really cool to see.
Agreed.
Half-Life Alyx on there. Come on.
We'll fucking find out. I doubt we'll see Half-Life out. I doubt it. You're gonna need that Valve Index for that.
Whatever, I'm gonna have to hack my PSVR 2 to my computer then.
Maybe. The rumor mill for, I think, years now has been saying a Metal Gear Solid 3 remake is in the works, and now we finally have seen it. It's called Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. Okay. No three.
Are you sure Kojima's not there still?
he's in the DNA. But yeah, the trailer was pretty cool. I thought, you know, it starts with like a, like ants, and then the ant gets eaten by like a frog or something, right? And like crocodile, and just all these, like, it's just going through a jungle with all these animals, and then you see snake. It's like, oh, I see.
Then he ate the alligator, right?
I think. Did he? I forget.
No. I'll say snake. It's called Snake Eater. Maybe was he eating a snake?
I mean, you do eat a lot of snakes in that game.
You do. Yeah. You do eat a lot of snakes. Some of them are poisonous, though. So don't eat them all. But yeah, it was just a cinematic trailer. No, like, in-game in-engine footage. Unless that was in-game.
Although they've been putting out little, like, comparisons of the video, like, of areas in the original game that I've seen, and it's like, yep, that's the exact same thing.
I mean, have either of you two played Metal Gear Solid 3?
Yeah,
I've not played all of it, but I've played it.
Yeah, so how are we feeling about this remake? Are we excited?
Well, I mean, Konami's involved, so not really.
I'm excited enough that it's gonna be a better way to play the same game, but there is like the shadow over this entire project with you know, all of the stuff that happened with Kojima, with, you know, even the, like, the fucking stupid hidden messages that Kojima put into Ground Zeroes about, like, his erasure, that it doesn't have the Hideo Kojima game on it. It's a very weird scenario. Like, yeah. Actually, there's a lot of Metal Gear Solid fans that are like super excited, and also like they're fighting some internal some internal conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I agree with you, Stretch, that I think if, because Metal Gear Solid 3 is a great game, and if this is just a way to modernize it and make it feel a little better to play and it looks prettier, that sounds good on the tin. I think I worry, though, about the potential for this to feel like a game made by a Hideo Kojima fan and not Kojima himself, you know what I mean? Which is weird, because it's like all of what he made is there, but with him not actually being at the helm of this, it's, you know, it has you worrying, especially with Konami's history. And at first, when I saw Delta, I was really hoping that this would be like a Final Fantasy VII remake situation, where it's like not quite a retelling of the story, but I don't know. I feel like straying away from what's original without Kojima there is it's a very risky idea.
Yeah, but this is like the perfect series to do that kind of shit with.
Exactly.
It would fit perfectly. You'd be like, all right, this makes sense.
If you finish the game and you wake up and you are Hideo Kojima and everything has been like a Psycho Mantis dream, and then you launch into the real game,
which is Kingdom Hearts 4.
Norman Reedus shows up and says, "Come with me if you want to live."
Yeah, is that what his real voice sounds like?
He's Arnold's son.
He sounds a little bit more gruff, but you know.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I am both. I guess it's like a tentative excitement for it for me. You know, it's like, could be good, could be weird. I mean,
we've also got to think about it that, like, we know what's going on. We know what happened. For the person who played Metal Gear Solid 3 15 years ago on the PS2 or longer ago, whenever that released, they're going to see, oh, cool, the game's back. And they're just going to, you know, they'll buy it, they'll play it as a remake, and they don't know, like, all of the weird fucked up shit that happened behind the scenes. So, like, game's gonna sell well, and then Konami will use that to fuel plans to say, like, well, this sold well, so clearly, you know, clearly we don't need to be worried about this being a big deal. Let's go back and sell some more.
Let's make some more Metal Gears. So you're saying that there might be people out there who are excited to play the retro PS2 video game, Metal Gear Solid, but in pretty graphics.
Yeah,
like retro. Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's getting old, right?
I mean, we all just played Resident Evil 4.
It's true. Yeah, and I think alongside this too, right? They confirmed they're re-releasing that classic collection, Volume 1, with like the original Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, 3s on modern platforms. Yeah, which platform,
I think that essentially just makes it the Xbox release of the Metal Gear Solid HD collection. I guess it also has the first Metal Gear Solid game.
And the Metal Gear 1 and 2.
Yeah, because that's all the Xbox 360 got out of that remake collection was 2, 3, and then Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2. Not sure why anyone would want to go back and play Metal Gear 1 and 2, though. That's going to be for those like, really happens? Hard for the nostalgia. Bro, I don't know what happens anyway. Playing the games
yeah, but I want that confusion during the game.
And what the hell is going on?
Nah, you got to really...
You got to know what's going on. You can tell us what's happening in Kingdom Hearts.
Dude, my favorite game in the Metal Gear franchise... is Rising Revengeance.
I mean, it's pretty fucking that's sick.
Not, game, I mean,
but,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the rest of the, like, that's fucking weird. That can do its thing over there.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, to really understand Metal Gear, you got to watch that 70-minute cutscene in Metal Gear Solid 4. Then it all clicks. After you get your popcorn, you know, and you sit down to watch almost a movie, then that's you'll like get
the
it.
End of Death Stranding.
Yeah. We also got to see Dragon's Dogma 2 there, the new project from Itsuno-san, the man behind Devil May Cry. It looks pretty good. This is because we got it confirmed, you know, last year, right? But now it's just like trailer with like visuals.
First time we've seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty exciting. Dragon's Dogma was one of those, I think, that got overlooked a lot by because it did a lot of cool, innovative shit that a lot of other games have now done.
Mm-hmm. Like I think the reason it was overlooked is it was cool but also very janky, and so like kind of hard to get into.
So it's neat to see them come back for round two, see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm excited because with the recent string of Capcom hits since like Resident Evil 7, basically
they've been like knocking everything out of the fucking park. Yeah, like that, dude. Mm-hmm. Capcom's on a roll.
Yeah, so if this continues that streak for them, where it's like this is just yet another like knockout victory, I am all here for it.
Hell yeah!
Because mm-hmm. The acquisition rumors.
Yeah, PlayStation's gonna buy them. Watch, because you know, Dragon's Dogma 1, you know, felt like I think we've said it on the pod before. It felt like a tech demo or like a prototype that was
in a way,
you know, like close to something really great. But had a lot of small things, and if they had another crack at it, it could be great
ideas in it.
Yeah, and after everything that they've done with Devil May Cry 5, right? Like, that game is just like polished and fine tuned. Like, it's a perfectly oiled machine. I'm hoping, you know, even though they're not quite the same type of game, there's some lessons from that development that they can bring to Dragon's Dogma. You know, Project Q. A Switch with half a DualShock on each, or half a DualSense on each side, basically.
Please, it's a Wii U gamepad.
Yes,
give it some respect.
God, it's such a weird shape. This is the hardware that Jim Ryan he interrupted the stream for a little bit to tell us about Project Q, which is a Wi-Fi only device that connects to your PS5, where you can stream PS5 games directly to that screen. He also revealed the PlayStation earbuds, which I don't think they're necessarily meant to be paired together, but you know, it makes sense. Yeah,
they're probably going to be all right. Sony's good at that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're over the ear headphones. I have that.
That's like, it makes audio shit forever. So,
mm-hmm. But this is Project Q. You can't install any games on it. This isn't like a native running device. This is just for streaming. Just for Wi-Fi. Yeah,
that's why I hope it's not that expensive.
And it's not even for like streaming. It's like you need to have the console. You can't do like PlayStation Now with it.
It's like remote play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm.
Which is very strange that this happened. This was revealed a day or two after the native Android Jawbone, which is like
a clip-on controller that like pulls out and snaps around your phone, right?
Yeah,
those like, have been around,
kind of like the Razer Kishi. Yeah. But they just announced their official one for Android phones.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird to be like, well, you've already, you can, here's this relatively inexpensive thing that allows you to stream your PlayStation games to a device you already have or stream from the cloud. Now we've got this one with two halves of a DualShock attached that only works locally.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen a lot of chatter, especially in our Slack too, about people being like, who's this for? Right. I think we even have an op-ed about that on our site if you want to check it out. I feel like it's really going to come down to price for me. If it's like over, I don't know, 200, 250.
It's too much.
Yeah. It's too much. Like it can't,
it's a screen with controllers attached to it.
Yeah. And like Wi-Fi.
I was saying is, life things have changed for me that the appeal of this has gone before. I'd been like this, so I have no interest in this. But with people that have kids, or if you live with a bunch of people sharing a screen, like this isn't the worst idea in the world to me, worst thing to have to hold on to.
The ideal audience for this is like if you live with someone and you only have one TV and sometimes like you want to play a game but they want to watch a thing. Like, you have to argue over, like, decide who gets the TV when. But now it's like, okay, they can do what they want on the TV. I'll just pull up my Project Q device and just play whatever I want on there.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, though, what's stopping people from doing that with the laptop or tablet or phone they probably already own? Because you can pair your DualShock or your DualSense with it, because you presumably already have a DualSense, because you have to have a PS5 to use this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stream my PS5 to my fucking phone.
You can. You can remote play to it, right? I did it with the PS4, if I remember right. But you can do it on your...
I guess this takes out all the any legwork. It's just you turn it on, probably.
Like a dedicated device for it.
Pair it and it's all it does. But this is also historically Sony's done shit like this where it's like, buy our thing. We have our own memory stick for the fucking PSP and PS Vita.
Our own premium device.
Yeah, you can't use it anywhere else. This has gone back way back. Betamax versus VHS. Betamax superior, no question, in terms of what it could do. But Sony was Sony, and everything had to be proprietary, and they fucked it.
Okay, Grandpa.
I'm just saying that's this historically how the company's worked.
Right.
Anyway, Stretch, I think you're muted, by the way.
Oh.
That I am.
There you are.
Hi, hello.
Yeah. I saw you laugh or something. I was like, wait a minute. I did not hear that.
Yeah.
Said, if it's like $200 is kind of pushing it for me too, because like I don't have to spend that much more and I have a Switch suddenly.
And the Switch can install games and play them natively, except for like Control and Resident Evil. It really can't be a really expensive console, but this or a device, but this is the company that is making you pay more money for the VR machine than the console itself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. Makes you really wonder what their like internal data said for like how many people were using like the Vita that way and other things. Like, was that just like a really popular use case for it? I don't know. I didn't have one. Cause there's gotta be somebody somewhere was like, we'd make money on this.
I mean, I think a lot of people did play the Vita as like their own remote play device within the house. Like I've heard a lot of people use it for that. So
yeah, I'm just curious if they have something. They think they can make money, otherwise they weren't going to do it. So I'd be curious to know. It's very possible like that the people that play games, there's so many fucking now, so hard for if we're not we don't know somebody that does something, how do you know the audience for it? so many sections of gaming out there.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have to see more about this, I think. We don't even know the official name of the device. It's just Project Q, which is, I doubt they're going to, it's not going to be the PSQ. That's stupid, right?
It might remind people of PS2. You know, that super popular console.
It's true. One of the best selling of the in the world. But yeah, I think this is going to have a very limited audience. I think a majority of people are going to look at it and be like, I don't need that. And then if the price is really high, even more people are going to be like, I definitely don't
need that. Honestly, $200 is the limit. Like $200, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a price that competes with like, I mean, and it's only an 8-inch screen as well. So it would have to be some kind of price that like falls in line with an 8-inch tablet, which is like $100, $150 bucks nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And then if you throw in the DualSense, that's like $60, $70. So that if you want to do that, it's like $170, right?
Yeah, I guess. But then again, I'm thinking like, well, you already have a PS5 controller, and knowing that like the PS5 will be streaming to that device, you know, it's not like someone can be using your PS5 while you're using the handheld and like play multiplayer or something. It's like, no, this is like you're not going to be using your real controllers because you are streaming this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the big finish at the end of Sony's PlayStation Showcase, where they showed us basically the entirety of Spider-Man 2.
We know exactly what happens to the entire game.
The entire game, yeah. No, it was like a 10-50. It was like the Rhino sequence from the first game. If you remember that, when they showed that off in, what was that, maybe 2017 or so? It's a similar vibe of like kind of a chase sequence and action, and you swap between Peter Parker and Miles Morales. So confirmed you play as both of them, not simultaneously. It's not a co-op kind of experience. It's just like more like a GTA 5 kind of experience, like a single player.
I hope we have those moments of like when you find Trevor just in the middle of nowhere naked. Like, what the fuck was Peter up to?
Imagine like you swap to Miles and he's just in school and you have to sit there and watch.
He's like, oh shit. Get him out of school.
That'd be kind of cool, honestly.
Like some little scene of him sneaking out of class. Mm-hmm. I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I wonder though how much, like, is it really a hot swap anytime, anywhere?
Yeah, I'm sure it's not, it'd be cool if it is.
Right. We get to be in Queens for this. I think that's kind of where that looked like.
The area was. I can't remember the last time a Spider-Man game had Queens in it.
Ultimate Spider-Man, I think, for the GameCube and PS2. I think it was like the one that's like really comic booky aesthetic. You can go to Queens in it. But that's the last time.
I get why they're not, because not a lot of tall buildings. Mm-hmm. Hard to web swing out that way.
I mean, now you've got the amazing glide suit kind of thing.
Like a wing web suit.
Yeah, for a lot of that, they weren't even dropping. It was very funny looking at it, and especially with the way that Peter's powers were working in regards to Venom. And it like gooping out and grabbing people and slamming them against walls and stuff. It really reminded me of Prototype.
Yeah, Prototype. A little.
And having just recently, my nephew and me wanted to watch, or we watched Guardians of the Galaxy. Him like shooting that stuff out looked very Groot. Stuff. I was like, that's fucking Groot, dude. So it reminded me of.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see that like this is the beginning of the game, and Venom's already fucked stuff. Or is already in doing stuff. Like we knew Venom was in it, but who knew it was going to be immediately?
Did they say this is the beginning of the game?
Yeah, because some people were whining online that like, oh my god, they've shown the whole game. I feel like I know everything, and they're like, dude, we just showed you like the very beginning. Wow. Like devs were saying this, like this. There's so much more. Like we didn't even show. We hardly showed you anything.
Mm. So, I mean, we already know what the progression of story is going to be for Venom. It's like shows up, infects Peter. Peter gets angry. Miles and Peter are going to fight. Venom's going to leave. What? Venom's going to find a new host.
Eddie Brock.
Miles and Peter are going to have to get back together to fight off the big bad. Like, there's the story.
Didn't you have to sign an NDA for that? What are you doing?
Oh, and Craven is somewhere. Craven's somewhere in the middle there.
Craven's, you know, the side boss thing.
Craven's gonna show up to hype up his upcoming movie.
Like, before you kill him, he's like, but don't forget to go to theaters to watch my movie.
Yeah.
It's like, Craven hasn't been in the minds, like in the public psyche's eye since like the 90s cartoons. We should probably like help people remember who he is so that when the movie happens.
The only reason I knew who he was is Marvel Snap. So,
hey, yeah. I mean, honestly, my two big swings for the story, pun not intended, are, thank you, is Venom does happen, right? Like the symbiote attaches to a different host and becomes Venom. But I think that host is going to be Harry, not Eddie Brock, because they mention that Harry is sick, and that's the reason why rude evil Spider-Man wants to get the lizard, because the lizard is like the only one who can cure Harry's whatever.
Yeah,
but I have a feeling maybe the symbiote can also sort of kind of cure Harry, and then maybe. You know,
yeah, I totally forgot about all of that Harry side plot, and that you could like find the room that showed him being like tested on and shit.
Yeah. I mean, and he mentions it in the gameplay video in the PlayStation showcase where Spider-Man's like, oh, I got to get the lizard because Harry's sick and whatever, whatever. Right. Like,
oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that or Carnage somehow shows up. And
I was wondering if Carnage is going to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Because I think it was in Dan Slott's comic run of Spider-Man in like 2015 or 16, where they did a story where Carnage fuses with Norman Osborn as a Green Goblin and becomes like Red Goblin, which is the most comic book fucking thing. But it's like Carnage and Green Goblin like fused together. So I wouldn't be surprised.
And
like, I mean,
Hulk showed up and Red Hulk showed up and Gray Hulk showed up.
Right. Exactly. It's all the colors. They're all here.
Yeah. Do you think we see any other Marvel people in this? Like superheroes? We know Avengers Tower's in the game.
Wolverine?
Yeah. There's no way that we don't see Wolverine.
Yeah. Because Insomniac is behind both. So
you think it'll be Hugh Jackman? I don't, but that would be fucking cool. So
it'd be funny. It'd be cool.
I would be way down for that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's probably not like a big cameo. It's maybe just like in a cutscene. Like maybe there's like
at the bar, tell him to fuck off.
Yeah, it's gonna be like where Peter needs a drink and he goes to a bar and Logan's next to him. Yeah,
you think they'll pull out old Xavier again, bring Patrick Stewart one last time? It's like, man, this guy can't escape Professor X.
He can't escape Professor X. He can't escape Picard. He's forever now.
Yeah, when he does it so well.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'd be like, I'm fine with it. It's just funny. Like, it's like, oh, he's dead now. But then it's like, oh, now he's in the new Marvel fucking movie.
I think it would be neat to have like it be a more established, like, yeah, like New York is filled with superheroes.
Yeah, I would love to see Marvel, more of them, like him interacting with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even just like hearing about their presence or
doing stuff,
you know.
Jonah's have ranging about them too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you do see Stephen Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum. First game. You do, and you when you swing by it, Peter makes a comment like, "Oh, I guess Doctor Strange is out right now," or something like.
Yeah.
Same with the Avengers, right? When you swing by that tower.
So anyway, what we're getting at is that we want this to begin what we wanted the Avengers game to actually be.
Yes.
Let's have this be that. Let's just Avengers start here.
By Insomniac. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be cool with that. Same. That'd be neat.
One thing I am very curious about how they'll handle is J. Jonah Jameson, actually. Because in the first game, he was very like Alex Jones stand-in, right? Very right-wing radio host. And then in Miles Morales, they introduced kind of an equivalent left-wing radio host. Is very like positive but also like very liberal, and now just the political climate has not gotten better since 2018 in America, and I'm very curious to see how they're going to handle that.
Are there gonna be like riots in the street and you're gonna have to go fight some alt-right Nazis?
Is
this gonna be Arkham City but it's gonna be full of Patriot Front people?
maybe Spider-Man 2 is gonna get woke. Who knows?
Jesus. Oh, you better not. Either you'll get, they'll be mad at you.
Oh no.
You better not have seen that new Ford ad. Ford went woke.
Oh God.
I hope that they kind of double down on it, because yeah, it works so well. And I think that by everyone like already knowing the personality of J. Jonah Jameson, like it does remove itself somewhat.
Yeah.
Because they play up to having having J. Jonah as that kind of Alex Jones character in the MCU as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that like even if they keep it at that level, there's still enough awareness. Like it doesn't feel like they're leaning into the politics of it. It feels like they're leaning into the Alex Jones bit.
Right. The personality. I think
that's kind of like a strength.
Yeah.
A weird strength the character of J. Jonah Jameson. Oh,
I agree with you. It's I get your point.
Yeah.
Like, he's already just so ridiculous. they're hyping up their what's the right word? They're caricaturing the ridiculousness of it.
Right. And I guess too, it's like, you know, in the game, he's probably gonna comment on like the woke shit Spider-Man does, which is like saving people or whatever, it's right?
Say it the dumbest way.
Yeah, like he's not going to be like, and also abortion is, you know, he's not going to
suddenly
bring gun rights.
Wild, like, dude.
Right? Like, this Spider-Man is a menace, and that's why we should have guns. The Second Amendment is...
You know what would solve the Spider-Man problem? A fucking bullet. Oh, shit.
I mean, you would think, but he dodges quite a few bullets in the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But we could also, the total flip side, there's been a lot of like really good story arcs with J. Jonah where he like, he, you know, with his relationship with Peter, you know, he finds out who Spider-Man is and he like immediately flips to like protect him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd also love to see one of those stories, because that's really the side of... It's weird that I'm talking so much about J. Jonah in this Spider-Man chat.
We're hoping
there's a lot of like really deep sides to J. Jonah when he flips, like when he becomes the ally to Spider-Man.
That would be nice.
No franchise ever really gets far enough into having Spider-Man for them to be able to get to that turn.
Well, the closest in the like original Spider-Man movies, you know, the Tobey Maguire ones, was when he didn't give up Peter.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll see that. Maybe we'll see friendly J. Jonah.
It's like, this game will be his redemption arc. Wouldn't it be fun for him to be like all racist? Be like, now there's a black Spider-Man.
Oh, God.
Imagine them going that. I know they won't go that way.
They probably won't do that.
Like, oh, my God. That would be insane.
The thing is, if this were the real world we live in, I'd be like, yep, that's totally what
they would. That would be realistic.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be. That would be what people are talking about.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I mean,
but he's black and Mexican. What the fuck? That's what they'd be saying.
100%.
Well, and they don't know what he looks like in his suit.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They don't know his skin color.
that's the thought that I started to have. And it's like, well, I guess they could just be like referencing his suit, because he will be like in his black Venom suit.
All right.
But yeah, they're not going to tear the suit at one time and you'll see his skin underneath. Something like that. I don't know. Is the new Spider-Man black? That'd be so stupid. Oh my God.
Well, hey, we'll find out about all this in fall 2023. They gave us that the release window. I think the rumor mill has been saying September, but official word is...
Wasn't it like a September one?
I think so. September 2018.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be good. I mean, it'll be good, right? Yes. I mean, first one was great. Miles Morales added some really cool mechanics to it.
Mm-hmm. So Peter has the symbiote mechanics, which, like we said, is prototypey. But fucking dude, Miles Morales is like Thor now. Like, what the fuck? His his electricity is just like off the charts in this.
Invisible whenever.
Yeah, I'm down for this.
I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm. So last thing before we get off the showcase, overall, how do we feel? How are we feeling about this? Was this is PlayStation saved? Or is this the best showcase ever?
Saved.
Is this the worst showcase?
I didn't know they needed saving.
They don't need saving, no. But is this the worst? What are we feeling with the overall vibe?
I tweeted about it that there was two sides to me that I was a little bit disappointed in the amount of CG trailers that we saw versus gameplay, but also with so many of like the live service first person shooter kind of games going on. I feel like if they hadn't been CG, we would have just been seeing a lot of the same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. probably. Very similar look stuff. I mean, it's, I think it was an underwhelming one because the stuff I'm excited for, I already knew about. Like the stuff I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. The games as a service stuff, it's just, like I said, I don't think any of us are the target audience for that game, kind of game. So it's hard for me to be all that interested in them. Particularly when like something like Fair Games looked so generic, so like I feel like I've seen it many times. It's getting Lawbreakers right now, feels like. but I don't know. Marathon looked really cool art direction. As soon as we were talking before, I didn't realize it's going to be a games and service-y kind of thing. I immediately get uninterested now because it was such a cool trait. Like the art design for that and like the is so cool looking, so unique that now it's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, Spider-Man 2 is gonna be great. It's cool. I'm glad we got to see that.
Like the thing is, even if they didn't show that 15 minute or whatever footage, I would still be as excited. Like, you know, it's a known quantity.
Oh, right? For sure. Yeah. But it's a little disappointing not to see some cooler first person or first party PlayStation stuff, which is what they're known for. And I realize that they're hoping to get that excitement out of those game of service games, but it's just not for me.
It's not hidden.
Indie stuff in there is pretty cool that I'm excited for, but
I mean, we got that like sort of sequel to Night in the Woods coming out. Yeah, like, that'll be cool.
I was a little bit surprised that there was not a demo drop for Final Fantasy 16.
Because
I know that Square Enix has been with most of their large titles have had a demo come out
pretty like extensive demo usually too release.
Yeah,
like it's usually a couple hours.
Well, hey, don't you worry. I'm sure we'll see at least one more Final Fantasy 16 trailer before it releases.
So and maybe, my Lord.
And maybe it'll end with demo live now.
That's like the complete opposite of fucking Tears of the Kingdom. It's like, here, we're not going to show you fucking anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then we'll give you one little 10-minute tidbit like 3 weeks before it comes out. And that's it.
But yeah, so I think we'll maybe, if they are going to release a demo, there are more opportunities for us to see it.
Yeah, so it comes out when, the middle of June? I always forget the date.
22 June.
Oh, yeah. Okay, a little later than I thought. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's plenty. I mean, they're doing their quote unquote launch event early June. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like, that comes out of that stream
to be a random Tuesday thing. They'd just be like, boom, drop. Yeah.
Like they don't even announce it.
15-minute showcase where we're going to show you. Like,
you can only play this for the next 4 days. Also, in our random announcement.
I don't know. I think overall, I wasn't disappointed with it. I don't think it's.
I'm not disappointed, but underwhelmed is. Yeah, I would say.
I think I'm just whelmed. You know, like I'm not sad about it, but it's not like, you know, crazy. Like, oh, I'm super excited for the future of video games. I'm just excited for a few things that I know are coming.
Sure.
And there's just some like interesting side bits here of like, you know, the PlayStation Q thing. That's interesting and different. I don't know if it's making a splash necessarily, but it's a swing. And live service stuff. I mean, now that we're seeing more and more of what PlayStation is doing with, like, now that there's, it's more concrete. I'm not as excited for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
I guess when I say underwhelmed, it's like usually there's a huge thing at a PlayStation. Like they're known for taking the big ass swings with their whatever it is, doing this amazing technical like thing. You're like, how the fuck that looks amazing, or whatever kind of stuff happens. And there just wasn't that. Like Spider-Man looks cool and everything, but it's Spider-Man. It's more Spider-Man. Not that I'm unexcited for that. It's going to be fun. No doubt. We're going to enjoy it. But just missing that kind of thing.
The power Spider-Man has, I think, is like, I mean, it nailed all the technical stuff. Like in the first game, I think, like as a video game, the mechanics are pretty great.
Small puddles.
Same.
They need to look better. There's plenty of puddles. They just need to
I mean, if you think about it, this new gameplay showcase had them going through a really big puddle in a river. Right. So I mean, we got all the puddles now. Yeah. But it's more of the story, I think, was a real strength of Spider-Man, the first.
I agree. That, I guess well written. I like their Spider-Man. I like Peter. It's great.
And they do some interesting stuff where even if you know the story of Spider-Man, like the general gist of it, like they really earn it still, right? Yeah. So that I think is why I'm still so excited for two, is that, yeah, okay, it's still New York and I guess maybe some boroughs if they add that, and like that's cool and all, but I'm more excited about like what am I going to feel when I roll credits, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always hard to it's always easy to forget that Spider-Man is like huge, like as big as he is. Like it's like you take Batman, Superman, and Iron Man, swish them all together, and then they're as popular as Spider-Man. like he's that big.
Humongous. I wouldn't be surprised if for some people, when you say comics, the first thing they think of is Spider-Man. Like just the concept of comics.
Yeah. It's just ginormous. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the PlayStation Showcase. That's a wrap on that. Do anyone want to throw out some Zelda thoughts while we're here? I think that the showcase, we talked about it for longer than expected, but
arguably the best game ever made.
Good video game. Yeah. I think maybe we can talk up to the Wind Temple. Maybe that's
just a choice of where you go, isn't it? Can you kind of go anywhere?
Yeah, you can go anywhere. I guess so. We'll just preface it with that. If you are going to be sensitive to spoilers, we are open to talking about the Wind
Temple. I don't remember the name of that boss in there, but it was fucking cool.
Yeah, it was like a flying centipede.
There you go, Colgara. Yeah. It was a neat idea for a boss flying around in the air. Was fucking rad. Mm-hmm. Having that all take place. I did not expect to be having a boss fight completely in the air the entire time as Link in a fucking Zelda game.
It was pretty cool. It felt like an evolution of the training ground, the Reto training ground. Yeah.
Even getting up to it was really cool. Like just traversing the way up to get into the, and the look of the being in the middle of a tornado looking thing. It was, Switch game?
The last of like the leapfrog ships you can use along the way and getting above it all and just being like,
and seeing it suddenly. Yeah. It's like amazing.
The music for that moment. Yeah. It's so like, it's something that the music of the whole game really does well, where it swells up in a way that it feels like a movie. And the music for when you're diving in through the eye of that tornado is, or that storm, is pretty so great. It feels straight out of a Ghibli movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I spoke about it in my review, which is now live on the site. But I thought it was really impressive how well the narrative all fits together and how there's no like break point in puzzles when you're doing the stuff in the village or making your way up through that like ridiculous number of floating platforms, it all feels like an extension of the dungeon. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, you do all of these trials and then you get to, you know, the hit the five things, which at its core is very similar to what Breath of the Wild did.
Yeah.
But there's just, this doesn't feel as impeded. Like it doesn't, it feels more fresh.
It felt more open and freedom of what you can do with it. I don't know, like, because that was my biggest thing with Breath of the Wild. So Divine Beasts, as cool as a concept as they are, which is fucking rad, super cool idea. They were actually accomplishing the quote unquote dungeon within them was like, wasn't as neat. Where this definitely felt like, okay, that was really cool to go through and just go around that ship and get creative with the different mechanics they've given you. Mm-hmm. It was really neat.
Yeah, I really like this dungeon and I like the boss fight because I've been hearing other people talk about it. And so I'm curious what you guys did. So for the fight, what I did is I just shot arrows at the big glow gems.
What the fuck else are you supposed to do?
You can dive through them.
Oh, fuck. That's way cooler.
Yeah, I found out about that and I was like, oh, that's fucking
I guess, because they set up that those are like the ice that you can jump on.
Exactly.
And I guess I didn't even think about that. That would have been so fucking cool.
Right.
Like I'm so mad I didn't do that now. That would have been so rad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn, yeah, so I just shot up arrows too.
Yeah, and that's what's making me think, like, oh fuck, I wonder how the other bosses like
you didn't think of.
What are the weird ways you can beat them?
You have to really pay attention to the weird things they show you on the way, because it's so simple. I never would have thought the ice thing would have come back as an important thing. Just jump on ice a few times, it breaks. Exactly. But I guess you do slam through it a couple times to get through to one of those boats to launch yourself up. Mm-hmm. You do have to pay more attention to that now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, going forward, I'm going to be like, for this something that seems innocuous. I'm gonna be fucking Charlie Day conspiracy theory everywhere.
Just give it a try. Yeah, Pepe Silvia.
Pepe Silvia. Yeah, I'll be Pepe Silvia. This whole shit.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? This is one where the conspiracy will pay off. Mm. Like they've already thought of it.
Yeah. Exactly. I do kind of feel that the game kind of signposts you in a way where, like, yes, you can go to any dungeon, you can go any direction, you can say fuck the dungeons and just do whatever. Yeah. But if you talk to a lot of the NPCs in the early game, all of them kind of point you toward, like, oh, the Rito, they like do. The journalists at the Rito stable.
Well, I think
stable. It
was that, and like what I did originally, because I was doing what I think a lot of people do. I was like, oh, where are these towers? So I can just get some fast travel stuff out of the way and get the map going. And like the early ones that I remember, you could see easy all pointed you in that way. So I wonder if that was part of it. It's like, oh, let's make this visible, and that would be a natural thing people would follow. Because that's what I did. I just found one and I'd mark it, and then I just like, let's go to fucking that one and run over there. And you just kind of, I was like, oh, I guess I'm close to the village. I might as well go see what's up, and you just get caught up in it.
Exactly.
So I guess that's a good point. Maybe it is. I wonder if it, I would be curious to know the statistics on if this is like the first place people go in terms of completing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's also where you find that first geoglyph, which does show you like
that's true. That's the on the
first
way.
One that it's. I think it's very much intentional that like there is an intended path at least up until the end of the Wind Temple.
Yeah.
Where, it was also much better that they kind of like drop you down off the Great Sky Islands and put you right next to where that marker is versus. In Breath of the Wild, when you got off the Great Plateau, and it's like, okay, you've now got to traverse half of the world to get to Kakariko to learn what's going on.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that break there is when I felt most aimless in Breath of the Wild. And I think by moving that point closer, but then leaving everything else as open.
That's smart because getting that ability to the gust of wind is like super useful.
Yeah.
So I get why they'd be like, let's have people have this first because it really helps move around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did. So you can collect these things called Sage's Wills, which are like hidden around the world. And then when you collect four of them, you can use them to upgrade your bond with the Sage, right?
Oh, shit. I have no idea about this.
Yeah, so if you explore, you might find some Sage's Wills.
Oh.
I found them mostly on Sky Islands, I think. But
Okay, I haven't spent a lot of time in the sky. That's probably why.
Gotcha. So I used it to upgrade mine with the Wind Boy Tulin, right?
Yeah.
And I was really hoping it'd be like shorter cooldown on the Wind Gust, but it's like, nah, he just hits shit stronger. But he never hits
so stuff. Dude has fucking aim though.
Yeah,
he's a critic all the time. But yeah.
I just hear the noise every time he fucking shoots.
Mm-hmm.
So I found these. Do I get the ability to read like ancient Hylian at some point? You don't need to tell me. Like is somebody with me.
You don't.
I haven't. I no way! Done that
what yet. The? I better than stretch at Zelda, guys. No.
you know what I'm talking about? Those islands that are like the stars.
Yes. Yeah. In the middle. So if you want to learn more, go to the lookout. The first place you land where Pura is.
Yeah.
If you go there. I maybe you have to like do something. I know I found it after the first dungeon, so I think we can all do it. But if you go there, you'll see a guy near one of those the Hylian tablets, and if you talk to him, he will.
Oh,
like begin a quest line.
You get a quest line that then.
Okay, because I took the effort to get there, and it's like, oh, you can't read this. I'm like, well, fuck me then. Yeah. I guess bye. Like nothing I can do here.
I will say, if you do go to more, just take a picture of it.
Oh. Hot tip. Thank God. I'm glad you said that because I'd have been so fucking pissed when I realized that that's what I needed. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, I got to find the other ones again.
Mm-hmm. Like that's what I was like. I went through like three of them before I got this quest. And now that I've taken a picture of some of them, but now I'm like, oh, fuck, how do I remember which ones I took a picture of? So I've been trying to like figure out a map marker I could use to like.
There's so much shit in this game. Jesus Christ.
Dude, there's so much shit in this game. I'm at over 100 hours in it. I've still got, like, I'm looking today. My plan is to get all of the outfits. I've still got 18 outfits, like 18 outfit parts to go.
How many do you have?
Total? Yeah, how many total are there? Yeah, pull it out. Come on.
Yeah.
I want to know. Because, like, I just talked to some fashion lady. She's like, here's some shit. Go find this ancient thing lady.
Yeah, I just did all of her quest lines as well.
Mm. Oh, that classic Switch noise.
This game is too good. I'm probably, depending on how my schedule works, I'm probably playing this the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I might be playing this in 2024.
That's right, potentially, yeah, because with Final Fantasy 16 around the corner, and there's just so much shit coming. Like, this is such a packed year.
Mm-hmm. So, I have 105 outfit parts far.
Fuck this game!
My God.
I mean, a lot of that is also like the amiibos and stuff. But all of that you can find in the game now as well. So there are, like, you know, Pants of the Wind, Tunic of the Wind, Cap of the Wind, which is all like Wind Waker stuff. I just found Link's pajama top, the one that you get in the New Game Plus of Wind Waker.
My God.
It's the blue shirt with the lobster on it.
What the
fuck?
That's crazy.
So much in this.
There's already game. Like so much stuff. Like, and I love how much they've done with the shrines. Like, there's so like there's a very classic, like, go into it like it was in Breath of the Wild and do the shit. And there's other ones that are not that. And all the ones in are so cool. And, like, I was just maybe thinking of that because I just did one where you did the dove through the rings, and then that gave me an armor piece of, like, you have more mobility in the air.
What?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
When you dive, you can move. You can have more control of it.
Was this in a shrine or somewhere out in the world?
I just found it on a island. It was the courage test thing or the something test of courage or something they called it. And you just go up to a thing and it's like, that looks like a good jump off, and then like a ring showed up and I was like, fucking damn, I'm jumping through that, and then you just follow them down.
God damn it.
There's just so much.
This game.
Like, anytime that you're like, I should go look at that, like, do look at it. Like, there's probably something there.
Getting the skydive armor is so good. When you get all three and you've got the added mobility, it's amazing. You go so much further, and moving in between Tulin and then like gliding and boosting. A tip for Tulin is that when you get like the gust of air, if you hit B to drop your paraglider and then open it up again at the end of the chute, you get another push, and that push keeps you faster.
Huh. Pro tips. Who even needs the fucking Zonai glider at this, you know, that weird bird? Fuck that. Just get a paraglider and your bird friend.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I was when I got the glider. I'm like, I'm never using that bird thing again. Like, hardly ever. Like, it was really cool the first time I used it. I was like, this is fucking rad that this works. And then I got the glider and I was like, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's some bits that are kind of fun for it. Like, I do like attaching fans and rockets to it. You just kind of like go, you just zoom right. You know, it's like fun.
I found out that it just stops working and disappears on you. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I was like, in the middle of something, I was like, uh oh. Guess I'm fucked.
People have already found that there's like an optimal design in just the one control stick and two fans, and you position the fans so that they're like slightly tilted forward, and it's like a motorcycle. And you get great fucking mobility. It uses like the least amount of energy consumption. That's how I did all of my exploring of the depths.
Dude, which is good for me. I have one battery, man.
It is just like Link hops on his fucking Harley Davidson and just like rides off into the distance.
It's pretty cool. Here's a question for everyone about the duplication glitches that have recently been patched out of the game, from my understanding.
I never even knew about them.
Yeah, so they've been a thing, and they've been recently patched out, and I am like, on one hand, I get it because you're breaking the game, right? But also, the game has so much shit to do that I don't want to farm 15 black bokoblin horns to upgrade my armor. You know, like, I'd rather be doing literally everything else. So I'm kind of like a little disappointed about the duplication glitches being gone, but also like, I guess I get it. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah.
It's it's a good point to make, though. Like, this is not the part of the game that's all that engaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But it's like, I don't want to be spending time not playing the game or, like, redoing. I don't want to get into the repetition of it.
Yes.
And for, like, a single-player game, no multiplayer, no online leaderboards, it's just like, what's wrong with some duplication? People are already sinking in literally hundreds of hours.
Yeah, because like that's the thing. It's like that the farming of the materials, that's not what's fun, right? What's fun is, okay, now that I have a billion fans and rockets and whatever devices, what weird-ass shit can I make, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, I get it. Like, Nintendo wants it to be a fair experience or whatever, but I don't know.
There is also, you can definitely see some of the design ideology between, like, you spend time in the depths, and in the depths you get a whole bunch of zonite, but you need to light it up. So that pushes you to go to the caves, and then you're exploring the caves, and you want to, you know, reveal more caves on the map, but in the caves you get other stuff, which then, like, pushes you here and pushes you there.
You just remind me that there's kind of a ton of caves. That's not even the depths. Like, there's so much shit.
Yeah, there's so many caves.
You can temporarily reveal all cave entrances on your map as well, by putting a fruit in an offering bowl next to a sakura tree.
Yep.
So if you see any sakura trees, just know that that's a way that you can.
But why?
Why not?
Because it's an offering to Satori.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right. I'm cool with that, I guess.
Yeah. I figured out one of those, and when I put fruit in the bowl, all the, like, the lights showed up around, and I was like, what the fuck? Why do I have to get all of these before a timer? Like, I didn't understand what it was doing.
What am I seeing?
Yeah. It was a skill challenge.
Yeah, so I was like, oh fuck, I gotta chart out the ultimate route to, like, get to these real fast. And then when I got to one and realized it was a cave, I was like, okay. Yeah. Man,
there's just so much fucking to do that.
It's overwhelming almost, but, like, in a good way, maybe.
Yeah. Because what's nice is that it's all rewarding. It's like, oh, that was cool. That was neat. Like, what the hell? Like, it's a lot of that, because there's tons of games that give you a lot to do.
Right.
But these are all worthwhile things. And it's so different. It's not like, oh, here's another one of these. Like, there is a lot of that. Like, there's a million Korok seeds and whatever. But, like, a lot of the stuff that there's, like, so much of, it's over in a second. It's not like it's taking a bunch of your time to do. Which is nice.
Yeah, it's the same feeling I got with Elden Ring. Where you want to explore for the sake of exploration, just to find out what's at the end of this dungeon, what's at the end of this tunnel, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And this game really nails that feeling.
Nintendo was like seeing everybody say that about Elden Ring, like, yeah, you guys ain't seen shit.
They don't even know.
You don't know anything.
Yeah. Man. But then what if the Elden Ring DLC comes out and everyone's like, no, this is the greatest game ever?
I want to live in a world where we're constantly trying to figure out what the best game ever is, and they keep releasing. We're debating that. That's fine with me.
Same. I can live with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the hardest part of Tears of the Kingdom to me is managing my map, because I want to figure out ways where I can mark things where I'm like, I want to come back to this.
Yeah.
But then not get so caught up in that, because, like, you only get a certain amount of stamps, like, and types of stamps. So it's like, there's too much to keep track of, you know.
I agree. That's why I was so hot. Like, I found some map that just said, oh, there's something marked on the map, an old map. And I was like, fuck, I'm gonna have to look at that and remember. No, it just left a mark on the map. And I was like, thank Christ.
That was nice.
Thank God.
It's not like the sea charts from Wind Waker that is like, here's the corner of the shape of an island.
And most games where it just sits in your inventory and you have to open a picture and you're like, fuck, all right, I got to remember where that is. And then you forget and you're like, fuck, I gotta open my inventory again. And like, that was nice.
But there are moments you have to do that too. Like, there's, I don't remember where, but I found a place where there's like a picture of where all the sakura trees are on the map. And I took a picture of that and I keep that in my camera roll.
Shit.
Yeah. I don't remember. I'm better at Zelda than Stretch.
there's a sand seal that you can feed splash fruit to, and it will give you the map coordinates of something that you haven't done yet.
Like what? Anything.
Yeah, it would just be like, hey, go over here. There will be something new for you to do.
Okay, but you can't look at the map coordinates, right? Have you figured
out on their mini map?
No. But there's no way to like look around the map. So that meant that like I like that conversation that I was having with the fucking seal, I had to screenshot it and then like figure out on the map where it was and like where I would need to move to do the thing to see it.
There's got to be somewhere where that's something you unlock is like have the coordinates on your fucking map. Because why else do they have them on the minimap? Like it's an obvious piece of data.
All of the Sheikah Slate stuff, and it's not there. And if it wasn't part of those updates, then I don't know where it would be.
That's kind
of
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee you there's a website that has the coordinates.
Oh, yeah. For everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just realized that I've got that heroes mode on your mini map that shows you like the path that you've walked through the whole game. So I really want to see what after 100 hours, what my like scatter walk chart looks like.
It's the hero's journey thing, or like trails. Thing. It was in the first game too. Well, I think it was an update to the first game, in the DLC or something.
In the first DLC.
Okay. Oh, I did. Yeah. DLC is something I never got around to with Breath of the Wild, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a mechanic. It's just like
I like it.
It draws your trail.
One of the things we decided not to talk about, one of the things I really like about Jedi Survivors, it shows you where you've been when you open up the map.
Yeah. So it doesn't kind
nice
of
thing.
Yeah, I love how that when you first get it in this game, they're like, it'll track up to 250 hours of your data. And I'm like, okay, but you know people are going to spend more than that.
Yeah, but like, more than that. Also, 250 is like a fucking lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So like they knew, I mean, like, you're going to spend a lot of time.
I'm like halfway there, and the game's been out for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're like not a man. You're a machine. I don't know what you are. I don't know. I don't understand how you
I'll take that compliment.
Yeah, a machine in a good way. It's a like a cool machine.
Like, I mean, C-3PO is a machine. People like him.
You're like the C-3PO of TechRaptor. How does that feel?
I mean, yeah, that's probably not too far.
Yeah, Zelda, great game. I look forward to talking about it next week with you all.
Why not?
But I think that is a good place for us to wrap for this week's episode of the Tech Raptor podcast. We hope you enjoyed. And if you did, let us know in the comments down below, what order did you do your the dungeons in? What was the first dungeon you went to in Tears of the Kingdom? I'd be actually curious if like a lot of people actually did go to the Wind Temple too, right? Or if not that, let us know what was your favorite announcement from the PlayStation Showcase. Are you interested in Fair Games? Is that what got you real hyped? Let us know. We'd love to find out.
Well, I want to meet who these people are. Who are you?
If you want more news, reviews, and features from us, etc., we're always posting them at techraptor.net. We'll have some pretty cool reviews coming in the next few days. So do check out our site. But if you want more of this show, we will be back next Monday, and we will see you then. We'll be right back.